Let us pray. Loving God, still our hearts and our minds, we pray, that we may hear your voice and that you may speak clearly into our lives. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. How often have we sung those words? And yet if we use the new hymn book, we don't sing them anymore. Adrian knows that, I'm sure. What we actually sing is, early in the morning, our song of praise shall be. Not much difference, you may say, and there isn't. Bit pedantic. But I suppose somebody thought it was time to get rid of the these and the thous and the archaic language, and so they had to twist things around a wee bit and change things a bit. So we don't sing early in the morning, our song shall rise to thee. Instead, our song of praise shall be. No harm in that, provided it doesn't mean that we have a sense or have lost the sense of the otherness of God. That God is not just a mate who walks along the street with us or has a cup of coffee. That God is a mighty God. He's a powerful God. So long as we haven't lost a sense of the wonder of God, a sense of the fact that we have to approach him in humility, on our knees, so long as we haven't lost the awesomeness of God. You see, the psalmists were very aware of God's presence, God being near them in their times of trouble. But they also appreciated the immense scope of God, the otherness of God. They would worship him as the one who is near, a present help in time of trouble, but also as one who is a great God to be honored and revered. In this psalm we read, because of your great love, I can come into your house. I can worship in your holy temple and bow down to you in reverence. We should never diminish the otherness of God. And the psalmists never did. This psalm is often entitled A Morning Prayer, because the psalmist tells us what he does in the morning. I pray to you, O Lord, you hear my voice in the morning. At sunrise, I offer my prayer and wait for your answer. I have to admit, I am not a morning person, never have been. I could work when I was younger, late into the night. Now I just fall asleep. But when I was fit, I could work late into the night. It didn't bother me. But don't ask me to do anything early in the morning. But that wasn't the experience of the psalmist, and it wasn't the experience of many people. I'm in awe when I meet farmers who tell me they're up at 5 o'clock, even in the storms. They're up looking after their sheep or their cattle, milking the cows. Sometimes I feel that I should change, but I think I'm a bit old for that now. It would be nice to be up early in the morning. On the few occasions I do get up early in the morning, perhaps have an early flight or something, and you're up and the sun is coming up in the sky, perhaps in the springtime, and you can see the light coming out of the darkness and the shadows suddenly becoming clear, and you can pick out the hills, which were just dark lumps for a while. It's a wonderful time, a very exciting time, a time of freshness, of new life, a time when everything is coming alive again. The darkness is fading, and there's the clarity of the new day. Sometimes I wish I was up more often early in the morning. But that was the normal experience of this psalmist. Scholars will argue about whether all the psalms were written by King David or whether it was a group or circle around him who wrote some of them and they were all kind of associated with him. It's certain that he had something to do with it. He introduced them. They were his gift, if you like, to Israelite worship and understanding of God. But I think this one has all the marks of King David, the shepherd boy who knew what it was to pray to God early in the morning. The shepherd out in the Judean countryside experiencing all the fears of the night, protecting his sheep, protecting himself perhaps from wild animals or wild men. And then with relief the sunshine would seep through. And David's response was to pour out his heart to God. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait in expectation. Waiting in expectation. I wonder, is that our experience? Do we lay out our requests to God and then wait in expectation? The psalmist was clearly a very devout man. He was also a very disturbed man at times. If it was David again, it fits in with what we know of his life. And David wasn't afraid to tell God that he was waiting in expectation, in anticipation of the answers which he was sure would come. But in the meantime, there were times he did get a bit frustrated in his waiting. And so, earlier in the psalm we read, "Listen to my words, O Lord, and hear my sighs. Listen to my cry for help, my God and King." He was almost getting angry with God. "Why are you not answering me? Why am I not getting the answers that I expect, that I feel that I deserve? I'm waiting, I've laid out my life before you, but what's happening?" It's not wrong to get angry with God sometimes, at least to show that we are serious in expecting God to answer us. It's a sign of respect, really. God is the one who listens. And we should at times tell him just how strongly we feel about things. Eugene Peterson was a translator or paraphraser, really, of the Bible, very well known for The Message. In introducing the Psalms, he writes, "In English, the Psalms often sound smooth and polished, sonorous with Elizabethan rhymes and diction. As literature, they are beyond compare. But as prayer, as the utterances of men and women passionate for God in the moments of anger and praise and lament, these translations miss something. Grammatically, they are accurate. The scholarship undergirding the translation is superb and devout. But as prayers, they're not quite right. The Psalms in Hebrew are earthy and rough. They're not genteel. They're not the prayers of nice people couched in cultured language." When we pray, are we nice people who like to make sure the language is right and respectful? Or are we desperate people really wanting God to answer us, to listen to us? Really wanting God to be God? Peterson goes on, "Prayer is elemental. It's the means by which our language becomes honest, true, and personal in response to God. It is the means by which we get everything in our lives out in the open before God." And that's what the psalmist is doing here. laying out his life. His enemies were around him. Too often they seem to be winning. Perhaps they are with us also. But then, having spoken to God, he waited in earnest expectation. We're not good at waiting. Perhaps this vacancy has taught this congregation a little about waiting. Waiting for God's time, waiting for God to answer. Not necessarily to do what we want, but what he wants. The psalmist was ready to wait in expectation. The psalmist also knew that there were dangers as he waited. The main danger being that he would be seduced by his enemies. He would become like them. And so he prays, "Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness. Because of my enemies, make straight your way before me." Make straight your way before me. Sounds a bit like John the Baptist, doesn't it? He too was out in the dangerous places. He too was out in the wilderness. Not a wilderness, not a desert of sand. A wilderness of craggy rocks and fissures and dangers. The Judean desert. And even though these men knew the countryside very well, there were dangers there, especially if a storm blew up. And so they knew that they physically needed God to protect them and to lead them. But they also knew that they needed protection from the taunts and jeers, sometimes the mocking of their enemies, so they would be held and kept on a straight path. Peterson again puts it, waiting for directions to get me safely through enemy lines. We need God to make straight the way ahead of us. Because we too can be confused. Or sometimes we can simply be outwitted by our enemies, by those intent on drawing us away from God. And they're out there. They're all around us. There are those who will make fun of those like us who want to serve God, who follow Christ. And there are many alternatives out there, some of them quite attractive. We might want to try them out. Surely that wouldn't do any harm. Well, it does. Because they're not God's way. And they will end in disaster. And so we need to pray like the psalmist, make straight your way before me. So we're guided in the right way. So that we see clearly. Ultimately, the psalmist knew that God would answer his prayer. That God would lead him forward. And so he said, "Let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy." The anguish, the sighing of the psalmist at the beginning of the psalm is replaced now by confidence and joy, rejoicing. That's why I asked to be read those few verses from Philippians. May you always be joyful in your union with the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. We are a rejoicing people, a joyful people. We give thanks to God. We have all the more reason to give thanks to God, to be confident in him, than the psalmist had, David had. We have confidence because God sent his Son into the world to live and to die for us. He loved us so much that he sent his only Son. And so we rejoice. God has answered our prayer. We live in the light of resurrection. We live in the certainty that Jesus not only came to earth, but will come to draw us all into his kingdom. One day all of creation will rejoice with him, we are told. And so we live as rejoicing people. People who have laid their lives out before God, who have waited with expectation, who have heard his answer, and who rejoice. There's a great verse in Matthew's Gospel, at least I like it. It describes the experience of the women at the empty tomb. And Matthew tells us, they left the tomb in a hurry, afraid, and yet filled with joy. We don't often hear the two ideas together, both being afraid and yet being filled with joy. We live in a world that can make us afraid at times, but we live with joy because we have offered ourselves to God in Christ, and we know he will not fail us. Perhaps we struggle at times, but fear and joy are one and the same when we live in the presence, in the love of Christ. When his love has come into our lives like the sunrise, and we live with him. May we learn each new morning to rely on God. Let us pray. Come to us, Lord God, as the sun comes in the morning. Brighten our lives. Clear our vision. Enable us to see the wonder of it all, but also to recognize the pitfalls. Teach us what it means to depend on you alone. Amen.